Oh. Hi, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Lisa Smith, the Chief Program Officer here at NJHSA. And Jen has taken on the role of the chair of this group. Jen hails from JESA in outside of DC in Maryland, and she's the chief human resources operator there. I don't know what the exact title is. I told you I should have
Okay.
written it down.
It's
And
okay.
thank you so much for taking this on. And when we met, I just want to say that when we met a month ago to talk about what we wanted to, discuss, we both just said before this meeting, there was no Delta variant. And now what's going on all over again? So this is timely, and we're glad we're on this call. And Jen, take it away.
Sure. Well, thank you, Lisa. And I'm glad to be here and glad to be working more closely with you all. It's nice to see some of the familiar faces and looking forward to meeting more of you as time goes on. And as Lisa said, this is such a hot topic. This is something that I think keeps all of us up, at least at JESA, at night. And we continue from week to week to think we're having a conversation that we've got plans. And then all of a sudden we go to gather to think about it again, and there's another factor. At least, or something significant has changed, which has completely put a monkey wrench in what we wanted to be able to do. So I'm really glad to have our collective heads here and to learn from you all in terms of how you're approaching this, what you're doing, and then share, see what we can come up maybe with some best practices and see where that takes us at this point. So I think, sorry. Yeah. So I think what we wanted to kind of get a sense of is, in terms of reopening, just kind of since it's a small group, sort of maybe show of hands, who's sort of open? And maybe, I guess first starting there, who's open at this point? It looks like Jean, like you're in an office, but who's back in the office versus who's still remote? And then who's, go on, Deborah, I can't see you, sorry.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, sorry. My screen just went blank.
That's okay.
We're in a hybrid model, in and out, with one or two programs totally back in. And tomorrow we're reevaluating whether we go back totally remote. We stopped
Okay.
this week the aging services programs because of the spike in the numbers.
Yeah.
So, what are you leaning towards, Deborah? You're having the meeting tomorrow.
Probably we're going to pull and go totally remote for the next couple weeks to just be proactive and ensure that, because every day it seems like an employee is reporting that somebody that I know is getting, COVID. So it's just a matter of time before I think it becomes a bigger issue.
Yeah, what are some of the others doing?
So we're technically still closed. We had looked at returning to a hybrid in October, and we had just communicated to staff maybe 2 weeks ago to stay tuned for our return to office plan. And then we let them know yesterday we're kind of putting that plan on pause for a moment because we're just really not sure. We have some people that come into the office, so our office is technically open, but not open for business in that sense. There's no requirement to work in the office. Some people just do here or there because it's easier for them. But just as Deborah said, I think we're evaluating whether or not we just put a pause since we are all still remote, just to kind of hold back on that a little bit longer.
I mean, isn't that, sorry, go ahead, Celeste.
I was going to say we're in a similar situation. We were really excited to get everybody back. We even had a July 1st like open house for our staff, like a back to school, but it was back to work. And that was very short-lived. Now we're back to exactly where we were, which is food pantry staff seeing clients in person only if they are clients that we can't see anywhere else, like a child who needs therapy. They must be met at the front door, escorted into the building, masked the entire time, and then escorted out. And I think maybe we have three of those. Otherwise, we're exactly where we were, 3 months ago. And you will have to have a business reason to come in the office.
This is Jean of Denver, and we're pretty similar to what you've all been saying so far. Janet is in my office, is with me today. We're putting some stuff together, and that's why I wasn't able to send you anything, because we haven't officially done anything either, but we're the same way. We're officially closed, but mm-hmm. honestly, over the last month, more and more people have come in. We still make into the office to work. We still make them sign in when they come in so that we can track people. We formally notified all the staff on Friday that they have to be fully vaccinated in order to remain employed with the organization effective September 1.
Wait a minute, what?
Wow, I know, that's huge.
Say that again, how did you make that announcement?
Well, it was really a couple of ways. One is, of course, we had been monitoring, you know, it was under my responsibility, the staff who had been getting vaccinations, you know, the whether it was the Moderna or the Pfizer or the Johnson & Johnson. So we had a good feel on the pulse. Mm-hmm. Very few people, probably 97% of our staff is fully vaccinated.
Wow.
So we were aware of the people that weren't. I notified them individually or through their manager and gave them a heads up that says as of September 1, you will no longer be employed if you are not fully vaccinated. So we gave them a full month. That went out Friday officially. And, you know, I don't know where it's going to lean for sure. You know, a couple of the people are, according to the manager, are going to do it. We're also posting it in all job ads that you must be vaccinated before you even apply. And so we ask in the interview process, that's honestly one of the first questions we touch on. Mm-hmm. We're requiring people to wear masks. We have a couple people who are here that are in the midst of getting their second vaccine, but they have to wear masks all the time. We had a meeting yesterday with the CEO, and We're not mandating the masks again, but we're strongly encouraging it. And as part of the senior leadership team, we all said we're going to walk around with our masks on to give the staff the idea that, you know, this is where we're going toward. A big concern, very honestly, is our clients, of course, and families and employees who have children, because the children can't be vaccinated. And so, you know, the employees come in here, they have the potential of picking up something from staff. So we're just trying to do our best. We are also mandating all volunteers must be vaccinated.
Wow.
So we have our pulse around that as it relates to some of the clients, but we don't with our pantry, because that's kind of been an in and out. Mm-hmm. But we are going to implement that also is mandatory, because we felt it doesn't make really a lot of sense to kind of be selective, if you will, mm-hmm. on which volunteers we require. So we're just going across the board. The one area we cannot mandate is the clients, but we also, but with our disabled clients, we have a really good, I mean, we know we caught that early on because of some of the you know, legislative requirements of working with disabled, what's required. And so we have a pretty good feel of our clients as well, but that's what we're doing.
Wow.
I guess I thought we had discussed this. We actually rolled out a mandatory vaccination policy for our staff in May, that anyone at JFS either had to be fully vaccinated by June 30th or submit an exemption request per the ADA. We worked really, really closely with our employment attorneys on this, because this was before most people were doing it at all. And we lost about three people. And we have a record of everybody's vaccination card. Our staff is 100% vaccinated. Any volunteers working in person also must demonstrate that they're vaccinated. And we are not, for the most part, seeing clients in person, but in our food pantry, staff and clients must be masked. And I think we're starting in-person food pantry shopping this week for clients that we know are vaccinated. And Jean, just like you said, we have it in our job description that we have a mandatory vaccination policy. We are very careful how we talk about this in an interview because we don't want people offering, making inappropriate, inappropriately offering confidential medical information. So we don't ask them about their vaccination status. We tell them about our policy and their ability to comply with the policy or request an exemption. We had one really nasty case with somebody who she just didn't want to get the vaccine, basically, and we gave her an exemption for religious purposes, even though that wasn't demonstrated really well, and she left anyway. Our CEO is very much of the opinion that we want staff that support our approach to vaccinations, and this is a great way to make sure that we have people on board who are going to represent that. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm looking for like an administrative professional. Finding people with the right skill set who are also willing to be vaccinated. I was joking with our CEO this morning. He's like, how is the interviewing going? And I was like, well, at least it's not taking up a lot of my time since there is no one to interview. So that's a huge downside, but we are verifying the vaccination status of staff and employees.
Yeah, and we've
done that. Volunteers, sorry. Go ahead.
Also, what Celeste was talking about, we've done that too. We are asking our current staff to send in onto a secured website copies of their cards as well. We were talking with a medical, he's a disease specialist, and his comment was there's really virtually no medical reason to provide a medical accommodation to anyone. He said he would be glad to look at any requests we may get, but he said there virtually isn't for one. And on the religious side, actually one of our staff a couple of weeks ago went out on the website and it's a pretty comprehensive list of all the myriad of religions and what they do or do not allow. And generally, on a fine-tooth comb, the Johnson & Johnson basically abdicates any concern about religion, according to what has been publicized. So that was just another piece of information that we had.
We did have a staff member who had a severe allergic reaction. Mm-hmm. And, per her doctor's... she was a temp. For her, the emergency room doctor's like, hey, this is life-threatening. We absolutely didn't require her to get a second shot, but she was also a temp and she's no longer with us.
Mm-hmm. Celeste, would you be willing to share that policy?
I am willing to share it. I think I'll check with my CEO. I would say if you're putting a policy together, you absolutely need to check with attorneys in your own state.
Sure. Yep.
Kansas and Missouri are not the same. And mm-hmm. Oh my God, Kansas and Missouri are just, they're just their own strange little worlds about things. And it also, you also need to know if there's any state legislation that in any way supersedes federal anything. You have to make sure you have the ADA accommodation option. Right. The religious exemption was ridiculous. It was something like, I know that the God of my forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will protect me. And it was just like, all right, this doesn't even meet any qualification. But also because there's no case law really almost at this point. And the FDA still has an experimental status on the vaccination. We're like, okay, the ruling was, we'll grant this to you now on a, you know, temporary basis, and we'll reevaluate. Mm-hmm. And she didn't stay anyway.
Wow.
So I think I can share it. I'll just check with the lawyers to make sure there's no, like, that you wouldn't be borrowing something that's inappropriate.
Okay. Well, everyone's responsible for their own, you know, policies, but it's just sort of a template, I think Jen was talking about, like what might other agencies use in their, you know, communities.
Where I picked the policy that we implemented, went into SHRM. Mm-hmm. And I just used that and then customized it for us.
Well, can you show that to us? Maybe put it in the chat or send it to me. That would be great. And, you know, Deborah Croce is not here anymore, but she is.
I am. I lost the internet. I'm on the phone, so I'm here.
Okay. You had sent me some forms as well. They were hybrid work forms, which I can put in the resource library, or we want to share them later after this discussion, I can. So, right, because we had asked for that, Jen, right? Mm-hmm. We had asked for those.
Yes.
Because I think it's really, instead of everyone here having to reinvent the wheel, it's so good to see what other agencies have said, what the language is.
Absolutely.
And some of it could really be.
We'll send ours.
Terrific. What's happening in Baltimore? We have two of you here.
Yes. So Camille is our newest HR generalist. I'm sure she probably already introduced herself, but.
Not really. She just said that she was the HR generalist. Okay. You want to tell us anything else? No, you're right. We should have just said a little more. Anything you want to
That's
say?
That's okay.
No, I wasn't sure if there was anything else that was required to share.
How long have you been there?
With my master's, I've been here since April, technically. I interned and then they brought me on as an HR generalist.
Okay.
So I haven't been here that long.
Welcome.
Camille, how big is the HR team in Baltimore?
Was it like four of us, Amaris?
Yeah, it's about four of us.
Four of you. Okay.
Yeah.
Big team, right?
Yes. Big team. Well, one person does probably like 10 or 15% HR, and she has a whole nother role. So hiring Camille was very helpful because it's just Darlene Wolf and I. Been us for a little while. So we need more staff.
Terrific. So what's happening in Baltimore?
So we are having our staff return to coming into a hybrid model starting on the 30th of August. They won't see clients until September 13th. That's when they'll have to have their clients come in. We do have a lot of days off in September, so I'm not sure how much will be happening and who will be in the office. But we've given ourselves, I guess, that cushion to see what's working, what's not working. All staff are required, depending on their department, to work at least 2 or 3 days in the office, and the rest can be remote. They will be required to come in for any special meetings outside of working that 2 or 3 days in the office. So for our staff that live out of state, we're going to see how that plays out. If they decide they don't want to come in anymore, and they'll find new jobs, we'll know once it gets rolled out. We did send out a survey. Oh, Jen, were you going to say something?
I was going to say, is that new in terms of having people from out of state? Have you always?
No, we've always had that. Okay. But after a year and a year and a couple months, people have been comfortable. And we have a lot of employees in Pennsylvania.
I figured Pennsylvania from Baltimore.
Yeah.
So, I don't understand why that makes a difference. And that they come from out of state.
Just because they're comfortable, not because they've always driven to the office every day.
And for us, we've hired a few people throughout COVID that live in other areas. We have a person who lives in Florida. We've got two in New Jersey, one in Oregon. Those are the four at the moment. But we really would like to, and most of them are planning to come to us full time at some point. But with COVID and everything and some of the regulations being more lax, they've been able to stay in their current locations before relocating. So I was just curious if those are people that were hired in a remote situation or if that predated.
Yes. And actually, since we've been remote, when we've done our hiring, we've told new staff, you have to come to the office. Even during the process, we said, you know, I hope you're planning to relocate. While we don't pay for any of that, we hope already planning to, because we wouldn't be able to hire them if they couldn't come in.
Sure.
Did lose a few candidates because they thought they could work other places. And they said it was okay. And then all of a sudden, when it was time to hire them, it wasn't okay. Or the place they rented fell through. So that was really challenging for a few positions. But so far, I think staff have complied. Masks are required. We are not requiring vaccination. We do encourage staff to get vaccinated, and we send them any sites that are vaccinating staff. We do have a lot of direct care staff, which Camille works with them, with that group. They are also, to my knowledge, and Camille, correct me if I'm wrong, not being required to be vaccinated. And they are working one-on-one with a client in their homes or in one of our ALU homes that we have. So we're going to see. A few people have given us.
Amaris, what about this new Delta variant? Is that at all impacting you? Are you guys thinking about it, or are we just, you know, not thinking about it? We don't want to.
Right. I think a lot of staff are nervous, but an email out from our CEO and our CAO and said that we are not making any changes to the hybrid model at this time due to the variant. And maybe as we get closer and we'll see what happens, there may be adjustments, but that came out last week. They're not doing anything, which I'm sure doesn't ease any staff concerns.
And what about Detroit? Have we heard from you? Because we've got a few members here.
We did.
Still remote. You guys, that's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing, but I would say, you know, to Amy's point, being the safety net of the community, right? We need to get back into get back in person and be that place for people to go to.
Yeah.
So we thought we were almost there, and now we're just a little uncertain with the Delta.
Mm-hmm. We were literally almost ready to open our resource center, like full days. And so that's supposed to start Monday, and we'll see.
Yeah.
In person.
Yeah.
I'm curious for you all in Detroit, and Deborah, you in Sarasota, are any of you all considering mandating the vaccine as well for your staff?
I wish.
In Sarasota, no, we have not. You know, at this point, it's highly encouraged. And, you know, we have not discussed mandating it.
I would say we very much encourage. We had a vaccination clinic on site in January. So we were one of the first in the community to offer that to our employees. And, you know, I would say we're roughly, gosh, Amy, would you say somewhere in the 80 percentile of being vaccinated?
80 to 90, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the client and the volunteers, right? That's kind of our big unknown as well.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to just say, Deborah, before you talk, we have someone new who joined us, Janine Richards, welcome from Portland, Oregon. And you just started there, correct?
I did, yes.
So I'm glad you could make it. And we're talking clearly about mandating, not mandating, hybrid.
Yeah,
going back.
I was in another meeting, another Zoom with our insurance person. That's why I'm late. Otherwise, I was chomping at the bit to get here. And we are actually having that same conversation with mandating and not mandating.
Mm-hmm. And so, where are you leaning?
I think what we are leaning is once it passes, like the federal guidelines of being approved, you know, instead of being on the fast track or making exceptions, then we'll try to mandate. The problem that we're having is the people who are in the homes, our home healthcare workers, they're the ones, they're the community who don't want to vaccinate. And they are the people who are taking care of the Holocaust survivors that we serve. So that's the big problem that we have. Most of our office staff, I think we're probably at 100% with our office staff. And it's the in-home care workers who don't want to be vaccinated. So, and that's a big problem for us.
We had a similar problem for our home care organization. So we did a raffle. And so we said your COVID vaccine card was your entry ticket. And we chose 25 winners of that. And I think out of about 80 or so people, So you had a pretty decent chance of being a winner, and we were raffling off $250 gift cards. And we were surprised at how many people really did kind of start, once we announced that, how many more people came forward and were willing to get their vaccine cards, because so many of the clients were demanding that of us. They wanted caregivers who were only vaccinated, and it was challenging to find those.
We did offer an increase in wage, mm-hmm. and only one person took us up on that. And I think it was like $1, $2 an hour for their wage. Wow. And only one person out of maybe 20.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Wow. Wow. Deborah, I think you were going to say something earlier.
Just, you know, we're open 5 days a week for counseling, but as of this week, because a number of clients have really requested to go back to telehealth, we're just going to keep the counseling center open 3 days a week and, you know, just monitor, you know, the Delta trends and clients, you know, comfort level to come back in person.
We're doing something called a neighbor market through our food pantry on Fridays. And we're partnering with a local organization that has, we made sure that all of our staff were able to get vaccinations when it was a lot harder. So we worked really closely with this organization. They're coming to the neighbor market to offer a vaccine to anyone who wants one. We had some trucker stop by, jump out of his truck, get a vaccine, get back in his truck and drive on. So it's not limited to clients. We haven't had, you know, hundreds of people come, but we're partnering with a local, with After the Harvest. So they're getting a lot of produce to our clients. And then we're doing our best to encourage clients to get vaccinated. We are not doing more than encouraging, but we're literally making it possible if they want a vaccine.
We did something similar too. We had a vaccine clinic here at our location about 3 months ago. And what we did is we work in a complex. So each of the senior leadership team took the businesses and went and visited with them and told them that we were going to have this vaccination site. And we invited them, any of them and their employees, to participate if they wanted to. And many were extremely appreciative of us doing that. And it was a good thing for us because, of course, we were going to have a lot of traffic. And that particular day was also a pantry day. So we had a kind of an in and out. You went in this way for pantry. You went out that way for the vaccines. We did also have it inside the building, but we ended up at the end of the day, there were 257 vaccinations. We cleaned them all out. We had about 10 left toward the end of the day. And, you know, just individuals came in and we found it to be really highly successful. And then we had our some of our volunteers contact some of these individuals, actually all of them, just to remind them of the second vaccine date that we had at our location as well. So that was really successful for us. It helped the government, Denver County, because mm-hmm. they hadn't had somebody that was located in the southeast area of the city where we are. And we found it really, you know, helpful. And we offered to do it again. They did not, you know, have the need for us, but it really was successful. I think we created a lot of positive community relations and goodwill.
Yeah.
That's great.
That is.
It's nice to be able to involve the rest of the community and have that available. Can I assume you're using the J&J vaccine? Since it's a one shop and doesn't need some of the deep freeze?
They use the Pfizer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we needed the two vaccines. That's why we had that backup call, you know, to remind people to come in.
Okay. Wow. So we might be here next year discussing the same thing as well.
I hope right? not.
Oh, yeah, are we coming back to work?
What's I think one of the things I'm trying to figure out is, you know, I think everybody is just exhausted. They're so tired. And you know, everybody was pushing. And then there was this like, oh, finally, after a year and a half, things are opening back up. And now that that's clearly not the case, I think myself, our leadership team, all of our staff, you know, everybody's just like, I don't know that I can do this again, right? I don't know if I can really go back to this kind of mode very easily. I think people are willing to take more risks than they were. They're, you know, they're not willing to be as compliant because everybody's just exhausted. And I, you know, and we're also for, I don't know who of you is on the DEI, you know, call that the network hosted recently and trying to do your own work internally. And, you know, some of that's really challenging. And I was like, how much challenge can we absorb really? Like how much of, it's just really flipping hard right now to keep going and keep managing staff and keep trying to, you know, keep people feeling okay and then give them things, even more things that are just in the nature of them to be challenging. I'm really concerned that we're not in crisis mode in the way we were, you know, 18 months ago or whatever, however long ago it is now, but we're definitely not in anything that looks or feels normal. I mean, when we invited our staff to come in for that, like, hey, reopening party, I actually was really sick that day and I couldn't make it, but people, oh my God, they were so excited.
Yeah.
You know, I'm an HR person. I really love where I am. I am not a client services person. I would not have loved to be suddenly in a huge group of people. Like it's too much all of a sudden, but especially for our client services people who are so oriented to helping, being together, touching, hugging, all of that sort of stuff. And now to have to say again, sorry, absolutely not. You are not meeting in person. You're like all those things are off again. I'm really concerned about people's ability to keep slugging through, and I don't know what to do exactly to support them with that. I don't know if you guys are sort of dealing with those same challenges.
We have that same thing. We just opened the office maybe a couple of weeks ago where we thought, okay, you don't have to, you know, we're all vaccinated. You don't have to wear your masks out, you know, in our office, not the common buildings and stuff, the common areas, but everyone was just sort of giddy. They were just happy to see smiles and they were saying, oh, you know, you look so much different and it's so nice. And, you know, people were talking more together in the copy room and it was just amazing. We had people coming in once a week, you know, because we tried to do the little schedule, and people who you hadn't seen in months were coming in, and people were hugging. And then we had to shut it back down. Now we're checking temperatures when you walk in, and masks are required in offices, and it's just heartbreaking to see, you know, people are just kind of like, oh, do we really, you know, but that's what we're doing. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
We have a staff member who's got some serious mindfulness meditation training and experience. She's going to start offering, you know, available to anybody meditations, and maybe that'll be something that's helpful. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't take the place of, hey, I get to like come and work with my colleagues. If anybody's got good suggestions, you know, I think we're a little bit beyond just like fun breakout room games and stuff, right?
One of the things that we're going to do, and this was decided probably about 5 or 6 weeks ago, maybe even a couple months ago, just to, and again, it was kind of what everyone else is saying, you know, just kind of the refreshing, oh gosh, it's, you know, we have some relief here and the masks are off, we can see the smiles. We're going to have a barbecue for all staff at the end of this month, starting at noon on a Friday. And again, we talked to this of course, everything changes every day, but we talked to this infectious doctor again, who's been giving us some really helpful advice. And he said at this stage, go, because we said, should we cancel it? And he said, at this stage, go ahead and have the barbecue and just, you know, ask people to wear their masks when they're not eating. Now, we haven't mandated the masks again yet anyway. We're strongly encouraging it for sure as of yesterday. But we are going to do that just to give people an opportunity who want to and feel comfortable to come in. We're going to be in an open area. It's not going to be closed up, but it's going to be partially inside. But that's what we're going to do, is just for that very reason, is just to try and pull as many of the staff together as we can, and they can spend, you know, an hour or two seeing people and chatting for a few minutes and smiling. And, you know, it may cancel, you know, it may cancel, but right as of right now, we're going to go ahead with it.
We did something similar. We did an ice cream truck mid-June. So we had an ice cream truck pull into the parking lot. It was an invitation to everyone. And a lot of people came out, but to your point, they wore masks or didn't wear masks. They were outside. They didn't stick around a long time, but it was just a nice way to get people together that you hadn't seen. And I've lost count, but I think of our staff of 120, we've hired probably 25 people during COVID. So there's a lot of people that have never met people in person. So it was a nice way to get them all there as well. Yeah, about a quarter of our staff is new.
Wow. Is that typical of other agencies?
No, I'm sorry. It's not typical for us. And we've actually added positions. So it's been a growth as well.
Because of COVID, you got so much more funding and you had to do so many more things with different people. Other agencies? Because I think that's really interesting. You did too.
We tried quite a bit.
Yeah. So these people have never met.
Here in Sarasota, we probably hired about 50 new people over COVID, because we got funding for a couple different grants and it required a lot of staffing. So same thing, you know, a lot of staff have not connected through the traditional onboarding process.
Yeah.
We did a breakfast at the end of June outdoors. We had rented a tent and people were able to come in for our hospice program, just for one of our programs in particular. It's a little bit of a parody issue with some of our other programs in my mind, but they were just really, they were so happy to see one another and just, you know, to share something, you know, to eat for a few minutes before they went to see clients. And that meant a lot to them. And we're trying to replicate that in smaller groups from some of our other programs, so they can have that same opportunity for those who haven't been together in some large way over the last several months.
Our CEO, Perry does a breakfast with colleagues. So that's kind of random. He'll pick like 10 people. So that was pre-COVID. Now during, I don't want to call it post-COVID, during COVID, he's went back to that. But having that in office in our large conference room, he's had a few of those in the last couple months. So that's nice, getting together some of those new staff members.
That's an interesting idea for, you know, that CEOs are doing that with just a few staff at a time. Really makes them feel special. I guess he gets to really know what they're doing. I like that. Maybe other agencies are doing it too, but I haven't heard that before.
Our CEO used to do that over the summer for lunch. He would take 5 or 6 people out who were interested, just random people from different departments, and just kind of get a sense of what was on their mind, which was really nice. And you get to see that person in a 3D kind of way there, where the person's really dynamic instead of just, you know, the head honcho of the organization sending emails. And I think it's a really nice way to help connect.
Right.
We did our first in-person orientation last week. And I think there were like 18 people who are new, to your point, Wendy. Like, we have a ton of new people. It's the first time we had gotten together. And I know it's unusual, but we had the most fun. We ended with a Family Feud trivia game and lots of like toys for prizes, including Silly Putty and Slinkies and things like that. But I was talking to our CEO this morning about the mindfulness thing and told him who was leading it. And he's like, who is that? I was like, oh, it's one of our new counselors. He's like, I have completely lost track of who anybody is. Yeah. So he was thinking maybe he'd call people, especially being in Kansas City. And he is like our local Dr. Fauci. So he is not exposing himself to people at this point. But that like connection, because even me as the HR person, like I'm probably the only person who knows who everybody is at the agency. And I still don't know what half of them even look like. So it's a real disconnect, huge disconnect.
Sabina has been doing our orientations in person, but we also do everything via Zoom. And then we set up Zoom meetings with everyone. Well, with a lot of the department heads. So that's been helpful, but still I pass people in the hallway and I'm like trying to put a name to a face. I'm not really sure.
Celeste and Wendy, I just want to jump in. I know you guys were talking about the lunch with your CAO, but we also have a new employee orientation where our CAO and other directors get to meet the staff. Right now, it's a 2-hour long presentation where people are talking at you. Are you all doing something like that in addition to the lunch? And anybody can chime in.
I have really tried to avoid it. I have found that the information transfer is so minimal. It's such a boring way to connect and that people really are not hearing anything I'm saying and I can't stand doing it. So we try to break it up. Like now we're having our payroll person do an onboarding individually on payroll. I try to go over, HR basics that they have to know, but in small chunks. I have just found that, I don't know about you, Wendy, I've just found that the onboarding that way is, they don't retain any information, right? They're kind of listening and they're checking their email or they're checking out.
I would say we found a way to break it up, right? Sabina does that initial piece, right? What has to be done to get them into the system, their taxes, their I-9, right? That piece. I do the benefit piece, but I wait for like a week because it's information overload, maybe even 2 weeks out. And then separately, meetings are set up with all of the directors for them to meet one-on-one. And those meetings are more of an exchange of conversation. It's not a presentation. So it's them getting to know the departments and what the departments are responsible for, also spread out over time. So
yeah, someone said
someone
said something which was interesting in here, which I think about a lot, and that is, everyone's multitasking, right? Like when you're in person, you have a meeting, you're sitting at a table, you're looking at each other, you're talking. But on Zoom, I've never been to a meeting where I haven't multitasked, where someone else hasn't multitasked. And it's just, it really dilutes everything, right? It's just not the same. It's just not the same.
Just to chime in on what Wendy also said is one of my main reasons of coming in person and onboarding with them is when they come to get their IT information and they get their IT orientation pretty much in person. And I'm there just to kind of greet them and show them the building. And we do everything else through Zoom.
So you're masked up and they are too?
But we were, we've stopped our mask mandate right now. We don't have a mask. We go by our federal, the local, but I think we're going back to the mask. Mm-hmm. But prior, we were masked for quite some time.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, who's typing?
That was me.
So a few of you have sent me your waivers forms via email. So remember to do that and then check this out. It'll be in there in probably like 2 hours if you are interested, because that could benefit you, especially those of you who are going to meetings with your CEOs or with your team this week, because I'm sure decisions are going to be made.
Yeah, I'm sorry, about the multitasking, like I have never sat at a meeting and kept my eyes on the presenter the whole time, right? I don't know about you, I doodle, I draw, the idea that we usually just sit and watch somebody virtually, this is a really unnatural way of, it just turns you into a passive audience member. I remember I was taking a class and I asked my instructor, is it okay if I draw in my grown-up coloring book? Because I have to do something with my hands for my brain to absorb information, right? So this is also a real challenge, is how do we engage people virtually where they're not just listening? Because for most of us, that is not a successful approach. Right. Right. So my CEO sends me a note, it pops up and it's like, oh, I am going to respond to that, even though it takes me out for a second.
Right.
In a regular meeting, we all agreed to no devices. In like,
right. That's what I meant. A meeting, yeah. Not a presentation.
Yeah. But this is the meeting, right? And still.
But we're multi people. I don't know if everyone is, but people just multitask, you know.
Right. And so that like managing, this is why, you know, is it Ameris? Is that
Ameris?
Ameris, right? It's such a challenge. You know, when we did our orientation in person, we turned everything into a game. We had people stand up and stretch, like, you know, use three dimensions at least. These.
A great idea.
You know, yeah. we're doing a training, I think it's a three-part training with this organization called Corifery, which is fantastic for the C-suite, C-suite professionals, because this organization is wonderful. Our director of operations and technology did a course with this organization. She said she learned so much about how to engage people, all sorts of different tools that you don't know about, that we don't know about. We think we're really sort of, you know, excelled in this, but easy to do. How do you get people to not just Jamboards, but other kinds of things? I'm not even sure exactly what it is, but I'm going to be taking it for sure. And I don't know, I encourage at least one person from your organization to think about taking this. It's going to be coming out soon, all the information about it. I think it's around $250. I'm not even sure, but I think it'll be really worth it. And I'm not just promoting it because it's the network's cohort training. I think it's going to be really exceptional. And, you know, you could learn a lot because we were thrown into this and we don't know everything. And, you know, it's hard to engage people. That's really it, Celeste, and hard to keep their, you know, keep them interested. So
I think as we remain hybrid, as most people are saying, there's going to be some hybrid opportunity. There will be a need to be able to engage people in person as well as remain engaging on a flat screen as well, which is so challenging. And to do both simultaneously can be challenging as well.
And so much more work.
So much more work for the presenter.
For all of us, right? Hasn't everything really doubled since COVID? It seems that way.
We have a therapist who asked yesterday, you know, can she book a room to see an adult client? And it was like, I just can't even think of the number of times we have talked about how we're not seeing clients in person unless it's a, you know, somebody who is completely unable to be seen on Zoom, and then you have to get the chief program officer's approval. And it was just like she'd never heard that. And I'm, oh my gosh, I don't know if you're dealing with this. Like, oh, well, nobody explained that. You guys didn't tell us. And I was like, no, we did. Like 153 times we've actually told you this. I'm not really sure how to communicate with you better. I have no idea how to get this information out to you more successfully. So it's, oh my God, my head is heavy sometimes. I'm sure.
One of the things a few months ago, we actually had one of our mental health counselors ask us about doing that because of particular needs of this client and a child. And we really debated it for quite a while because we have a hybrid, but we're still officially closed. But, you know, the needs of the client were getting, you know, in some areas were getting better. And so we set up on a case-by-case basis with the request we still do that if the counselor has that need, they let us know. Everybody has to still sign in every day before they come into the building. They let us know who is coming in, and then we still have the hygiene protocols in that you clean the office area. You know, we have the wipes and the, you know, all the sprays and all that, and we're relying on the counselors to, you know, to do that. But we also have what we call kids success counselors who are in the Denver Public Schools that are back out there and we have to follow the criteria of the Denver Public Schools, but we do the same thing. You know, they meet at the schools in a small environment, and the counselors just have their protocols set up. But we're doing, honestly, more and more on-site visits like that with certain clients.
Yeah, we've been allowing some in-person client, but it's, I mean, Amy can probably say how many, but it's more like on an as-needed basis or as-requested basis. And we've been doing that for about, 2 months?
Two, three months. But the biggest population that wants to be seen is children. So we've got two child therapists who are seeing kids in playrooms or group rooms. So they're larger rooms, which makes it easier. But we have front desk staff there, but they have to alert us ahead of time when they need the space.
That was for Baltimore. We were trying to figure out what offices allowed the individual, like the client and the provider, to be 6 feet apart. And so there are new hires we've hired now that don't have offices, and people are getting ready to switch offices when they come into the office. Departments are moving because we need to be able to have our therapists see their clients and be 6 feet, and our case managers do the same. So those changes are still being ironed out. No one knows exactly where their office is going to be, but I hope by August 30th, we'll have that together.
And that makes staff really uneasy too, because, you know, with all this stuff, am I going to be, you know, sharing it with someone? I mean, how are people doing it? Are they doing like the sharing of the offices, two people coming in?
There are a few people that are sharing now, and they don't want to come in because you have to clean the office. So we are going to be providing, we have sanitizing stations, but wipes so that they can wipe down before and after a client or before and after the other person that they're sharing with used it. I feel like we're doing our best, but I know people are not going to be as happy, and I understand that.
Yeah. We've also invested in some room size, like big room size air purifiers and much smaller ones. Good quality ones are really expensive. We use some COVID funding to purchase those. And given that, you know, the air particulate, the expelled particulate matter is a higher transmission cause than surfaces, we've really focused on having those on, making sure those are on during any in-person visits and that they stay on for at least an hour afterwards to clean the air. We do have.
How much are they, Celeste?
Well, the really large ones are close to $1,000 and the small ones are about $250. And then we have replacement filters. These are HIPAA filters. They're highly rated. They're not the, you know, like they don't just get the smoke smell out of the air. We already had those because we had enough clients with body odor and smoke and things like that. But these are designed to, you know, really cleanse the particulate matter from the air in a.
Yeah,
I think it's from a company called PuraShield. That's who we used.
Can you write it in the chat when you have a moment?
Sure.
Deborah, thanks for joining us. I know you just wrote.
Oh, no worries. I'm sorry, team. I have to jump on another call, but
okay,
look,
I'll put your stuff in the NJHS. Okay.
Perfect.
Resource file.
Bye-bye.
Well, one of the things
when you're talking about space, we're doing a major office revamping in our building because we're expanding. We've created another department, and we're just expanding like some of the rest of you have as well. And as a result, it's required us to do that. But one of the things that we're doing is we're creating these, they're called hotel rooms, and they're going to be empty for some people will pretty much work every day in the office. Some people may exchange, you know, with each other for the office space, but the other staff who will not be coming in much at all, they will need to reserve this hotel room, if you will. And that's where they work for that day or that period of time or those hours. And we're hoping that that can alleviate some of the tension between, you know, what are they doing in my office space? Mm-hmm. Because we also went out to all the staff and said, you know, we of course started with the managers, and then they in turn talked to their staff about what was workable for them to work in the office or not work in the office. And so from that, kind of a schedule was built of how they will, and a platform is being purchased for that purpose of being able to track when people are in and out of the building and the particular office that they're renting, if you will, for the day. We're hoping that's going to be helpful.
What is the name of that platform?
It's a software. I don't know because they were looking at two or three of them. But I can certainly send it to you once it's, I don't honestly even know if it's finalized yet. We're in the throes
of, idea.
Of doing
sort of like that. What divorce families do, right? They have a platform that they determine when they're seeing and what's going on. Does anyone else have one of those kinds of? Well, let us know, Jean. I can send it out to everyone if anyone's interested.
I will.
So we just have Amy.
We have Amy. Can we hire you to help everyone here in the network determine the staffing?
No.
Well, Jen, I think that we're running out of time.
Yeah.
I think we are. Yes, I was just going to, I know some people are back-to-back meetings, so I don't want to hold you. I want to be sensitive to the time, but it's been great seeing so many of you and hearing from everyone. And Lisa, we'll send out the reminder, but our next meeting is on November 9th. So we will see you in the fall. Yeah. And hopefully we will see, exactly, write it down. Invites will go out, and hopefully we will
2 weeks
we'll have new news as to where we are. Hopefully it won't be Groundhog Day. We'll have something new to consider.
If something comes up that we feel is important, we'll do a pop-up, right? If we really need to talk again, because you just never know what's happening with this virus and the Delta variant. And you all are really so important to your agencies working with staff. I mean, without human resources, I don't know how any of this could happen. So I want to give you all a huge shout out, because it's not easy, you know, listening to staff complain, trying to maintain staff and retain them, you know, and hire them. So
that is true. And Celeste, I want to thank you for saying something about the DEI work group. I was part of that affinity group last week as well, which I thought was excellent. So I don't know if any of you were all able to join, but a little plug for that. I know
we've got a lot of plans for that. Lots of different breakout groups, not breakout groups, but other kind of subgroups will come as a result of that.
That was great.
Hey, Lisa, for some reason, I was not able to hook into that. Was that recorded?
Yes. But the breakout rooms weren't. There were around eight breakout rooms, but just the beginning and the end. And you can find it in the resource library. And I wrote you guys how to do it, because we're revamping our resource library. I'm telling you that right now. But like, you might just want to type in the search bar DEI, right? And it'll come up, right? It's confusing. You can go to webinars, but sometimes you see it, sometimes you don't. But when you search for something, it comes up.
Okay, great. Thank you.
So you guys will search for HR, and then all of the things that you've just given me will come up, and I'm going to rename them, because a lot of times it doesn't really say what it is. So I'm going to try to make it clear. Okay. So thank you all, and have a happy holiday if you celebrate it. Jewish.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.